Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation through the perfect blood atonement of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to be born into humanity, lived a perfect life, was crucified, raised from the dead, so that I and others could be called sons and daughters in your kingdom. Equip us to be on guard against the sins we have been studying that our society and Christians alike have deemed to be acceptable. Let us take time to reflect and thank you for exchanging our worthless robes of sinfulness for Christ's robes of righteousness, so that we may inherit the gift we are woefully undeserving of. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together today to study your word that so many on earth do not have access to. We will give you all the praise and honor in these things. Amen. So this morning, we're going to take some time and review discontentment and unthankfulness. And so to start us off, we're going to partake in this activity here. And what I'd like for us to do is to take either, say, yesterday or someday this week or even a week long of experiences. And for the outline here, I'd like us to identify maybe 5 to 10 items that happened in a day or in the course of a week that, like, during those items, you had a range of emotions. And so how did they fall within this timeline? So for example, okay, if I were to identify a day or even just reflecting on this past week, if I were to look at it, I would pinpoint certain items, and I'd put that on our chart here. So I just want to give us an opportunity to just kind of reflect on our day or the week, whichever one you've identified, and start to pinpoint some highs and some lows in the course of that timeline. So go ahead and take a few moments to do so. Feel free to write just a brief description of what that might be. With the emotions, so if something happened and they were a joyful emotion, I'd put that above the line. If I received news and it was unfortunate news, I would certainly put that below the line. So take about 30 seconds, finish up your thoughts and your reflection. Okay. You can go ahead and put that activity to the side. We will come back to that. So today, we're going to be looking at respectable sins of discontentment, unthankfulness. In society, unfortunately, and in Christian life, sometimes we can boil this down to not that big of a deal. Unfortunately, if we have that attitude towards it, it can have a great impact on our daily walk with God. And so if you feel respectable sins, discontentment, and unthankfulness are too small to make an impact, I would encourage you to spend a night in a tent with a couple of mosquitoes. See what kind of impact that has on your life. So discontentment, a question for the audience here. In your mind, what is discontentment? Not being satisfied with something? That's right. What else? What's that? Frustration. Yes. Yes.
A feeling of lack.
Feeling of lack. Feeling of, I need something else in order to be satisfied. Absolutely. Can also be something that we're anxious about because we lack a certain thing. We're anxious about this. When we have feelings of discontentment, are they for things that we can control or things that we cannot control?
Yes.
Exactly. It can be both. It can certainly be both. And so to be discontent, we are, unfortunately, in a state of not trusting what God has for us. The most frequent warnings in Scripture tend to focus on money, possessions. We live, unfortunately, in a thankless age. And I guess that's throughout the course of human history. We live in a thankless age. We have more than what we could ever want, yet we desire more than we could ever use. And with the prevalence of social media, we're in a constant state of comparing ourselves to others. Perhaps we're in a state of discontent because of our health and or overall circumstances that we are facing. Now, our circumstances may be on various stages of this continuum, but we further compound the issue if we do not respond to discontentment in a biblical way. The reason it is a respectable sin is because we tend to respond to difficult situations with anxiety or frustration. And because of this, we consider these behaviors to be normal. When we respond this way, we are behaving no different than a non-Christian. And we need to factor God into all of our situations. And unchecked discontentment, unfortunately, can lead to resentment and even bitterness towards God or to other people. So, discontentment. Now let's take a quick cursory look at unthankfulness. What is unthankfulness? Lack of gratitude for what we have received. What else? Very good. Right. Can discontentment and unthankfulness kind of fall in the same category? These two certainly have deep-rooted connections with one another. Throughout the course of today's study, when I use the word unthankfulness, a lot of times we can also equate that to discontentment and vice versa. I'm discontent because I don't have a certain thing, well, I received a certain thing, or I don't have a certain thing, therefore, I am unthankful because I don't have it, or I received it, and I just don't have a heart that is thankful for it. So throughout the lesson, if you hear me utilize one, I'm typically talking about both here. So Can we teach a child, or can we teach anybody to say thank you? We certainly can. I remember growing up, my parents would take us to a restaurant, and as soon as we got into the car, we would say thank you. And a lot of times, it was just a habit. It wasn't prodded by any true emotions of thanks. How about an individual who receives a present at Christmas time, and it's a pair of socks, and they're telling their grandparents, thank you, okay? Are they saying it out of a heart of true gratitude, or are they saying it because it is something that their parents have required of them? Okay, so saying thank you is not the same as being thankful. Saying thank you is a decision, but being thankful is not a decision. That comes from Christ, okay? And it leads to a true enjoyment of Christ. So let's examine a biblical story of unthankfulness. And if you wouldn't mind, turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. So this is the story of Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. Starting in verse 11, on a way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So there's a lot of cultural aspects to the story, from the approach of how to diagnose someone with and how to handle a leper in society that can be found in Leviticus. This is also a story to rebuke the Jews and the Pharisees that a foreigner, a Samaritan, because he was the least likely to be healed because he was not a Jew. He was the one who came back to show his thankfulness. But those cultural and societal aspects, those aren't the focus of today's lesson. As we read the story, it's natural to think, how could those 9 men be so ungrateful as to not even turn back and say a word of thanks to Jesus? And yet, far too often, we can be guilty of the same sin of unthankfulness. Spiritually, our condition was much worse than leprosy. If you think about it, what's said in Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Yet, how often do we give thanks for our salvation? Being thankful is a true spiritual gauge of an individual's spiritual condition. With the story of the 10 lepers, we can see that the gauge of the spiritual condition of these individuals, we can see one individual and their spiritual condition, but we can also look at the other 9 and see their spiritual condition, okay? And who has come to Christ to thank him for what he has given? Do we say, thank you for giving me the skill or ability and health to do my work today? Do we thank him for all things? The truth is our whole life should be a continual thanksgiving. And for an unbeliever, it's normal for an unbeliever to be unthankful, but it's abnormal for a Christian to be unthankful. Paul described pagan society in Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So 6 main points and quick points here that can hinder our joy and our thankfulness. Number one, we can doubt the character of God. Is there a story in the Bible that we can certainly highlight that shows the doubt of character of God? Certainly we can. Garden of Eden, when it asked not to eat of the fruit, they doubted the character of God. Okay, selfishness. I want it the way I want it. Okay, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, that highlights selfishness. Worldliness. Our focus is on trivial things. 1 John 2, verses 17 or 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Sometimes we have a critical spirit. It's going to warp our outlook and it can make us ineffective in our walk. Sometimes we overanalyze things. Our critical spirit feeds an oversized ego, unfortunately. Or perhaps we've been hurt by somebody, and to get back at them, we hold a grudge against them. Perhaps we're impatient. God isn't working on my timeline. I expected to be here at this point in my life, but God hasn't provided that. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Coldness or rebellion is the sixth item here. Sometimes our coldness can lead to rebellion. And spiritual apathy, perhaps we've lost the appetite of studying God's word. And if that's the case for an individual in this room, may I encourage you with Psalms 119, verses 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So that is discontentment and unthankfulness in a real quick overview. What I'd like to do now is I want to apply, I want us to apply thankfulness to some items that are around us. Okay, so what I need the group to do is answer the question, what connection do the following science and math topics have to do with combating the sins of discontentment and unthankfulness? So as we go through these examples, I'd like for you to think about some verses or some things that will help us combat unthankfulness by just viewing these particular examples. Okay, the numbed desert beetle. Okay, does anybody know anything about this particular beetle? Good, I didn't think so. Very obscure example here, I realize. This is a particular beetle that we're talking about here. In Africa, this desert, the average daily temperature is well over 100 degrees. There's very little groundwater that's available to any creature that lives in this particular desert. However, God created this little black beetle with a very unique surface for its shell. God created this black beetle with the shell that has raised bumps on it and a waxy surface between those particular bumps. A couple of times each week, there's a dense fog that moves in. Okay, as that dense fog moves in, the beetle will position itself on a sand dune, tilt its head towards the ground, lift its shell in the air, and allow that fog to hit the shell. What ends up happening is the condensation builds over time, and as the condensation gets heavier, it makes water droplets. And as the water droplets form, The beetle has its head towards the ground, and gravity does its work, and the water comes down, and a beetle drinks the water. So I want you to be thinking about that example, maybe what's some scripture, and how does this connect to discontentment or unthankfulness? Individuals in our small group, they've heard me read this aloud, but it bears repeating. Okay, when it comes to the topic of sand and stars, which one has more? Is it sand of the earth, or is it stars in the galaxies? The comparison between the number of stars in the universe and specks of sand on Earth is a popular way of displaying the vastness of both. Scientists estimate that there's about 7.5 quintillion grains of sand on Earth. That's a 7.5 followed by 18 zeros. That's a lot of zeros. But when it comes to stars, astronomers estimate that there's about 100 to 400 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy alone. That's just the Milky Way. There's likely 2 trillion galaxies or more in the observable universe. If you do the math, number of stars in the universe could be somewhere around 6 trillion. That's a 1 followed by 21 zeros of stars. This means that there are likely far more stars in the universe than grains of sand on Earth. For those of us who have been to the beach and or a desert, and we picked up a handful of sand, it's just unfathomable, just the comparison between the two. Sun's orbit. The sun's orbit. In Psalms 19:6, it's rising, the sun, is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Do you know that scientists used to mock this verse for centuries because they believed the sun went around the earth? For those of you who are science enthusiasts, do you guys know who created the work that said it was the reverse? Copernicus. So Copernicus, in 1543, he presented a detailed argument for this theory in his book called On the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres. The sun is orbiting the heavens at a speed of 448,000 miles an hour. And it's going to take 230 million years to complete one orbit. So, that's a pretty large number. Leads me to next example. Counting to a billion. Okay? Average person can count from 1 to 100 in about 1 to 2 minutes. Okay? Some of you are doing that in your head right now. Okay? Counting from 100 to 1,000 takes about 15 to 20 minutes. A rough estimate, if we assume an average pace of 2 seconds per number, that's going to be 1 billion times 2 seconds equals 2 billion seconds. 2 billion seconds divided by 60 minutes, 1 hour, 33.3 million minutes. I could keep breaking down this math computation. Some of you would be excited about that, but I won't. Okay? And so our answer is, it would take the average person 63 years, okay, without stopping, without eating, without mistakes, in order to accomplish this task. So be thinking about a verse that would help us combat unthankfulness with this example of counting to a billion. Okay, I asked this question to my family, and the range of numbers that they threw out there was interesting. From it could take just a couple of hours, could take a couple of days, to years, to maybe up to 25 years. No one came close to 63 years. Okay, and so one particular individual keeps challenging me on this. I won't name names. Okay, but it's been fun because I asked that particular individual count from 1100 to 1200, and it took around 4 minutes because of all the laughter, okay, that was taking place. But that is incredible to think that the vast majority of us in this room, even if we were to try to accomplish this task, we couldn't in our lifetime. Bibles. This is an unfortunate statistic here. This would be our last example. Well, we're on the topic of vast numbers. The world's population is around, does anybody know? Take a stab at it. How much? 8.2, yeah, real close, 8.2 billion. So of the 8.2 billion, how many do not have access to the Word of God? Not that high. One and a half billion do not have access to the Word of God. That's around 18% of the world population. And within that figure, we're talking about some individuals, individuals that have parts of Scripture, but don't have the full realm of the Word of God. It's estimated that there's 41 million people, that's around 12% of the U.S. population, that does not have access to the Word of God. Of that 41 million people, almost 400,000, that's about 6% of U.S. population here in Missouri, that do not have access to the Word of God. So the question is, these are all nice science and math facts, but please help me connect the dots between these examples and us combating a state of discontentment or unthankfulness. So when it comes to the beetle, were there any verses that came to your mind, and shout them out as they came to your mind, that you'd like to share with the group? If you don't know the reference for the verse, that's perfectly fine. Just state, here's the summation of the verse.
God cares for the sparrows, aren't you worth more than all of them?
That's great. Matthew 10, okay, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than any sparrow. Very good. Okay, the stars and sand. Anything come to mind?
God's thoughts are more to us than the sand of the sea.
That's right. Any others? The stars and the sand. Oh, you're talking Roy's example?
God's thought to us, I can't remember the passage, or more than the sands of the sea.
You got one? Yes. Your inhabitants. Yes, your inhabitants would be more than the sand of the seas. That's right.
Oh.
That's right. Psalms 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Praise the Lord. Revelations 4:11, okay, and we can go through the sun's orbit, the vastness of a billion. Anything come to mind with the vastness of counting to a billion? Yes, so in Job, there's also Psalms, Psalm 39, verse 4 through 5. Lord, make me to know my end. What is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. When you're thinking about counting to a billion and knowing that it can't be done in your lifetime, that verse came to mind. World's population without a Bible, praise the Lord that we have access to the Word of God. How can we be discontent with our God who ordains everything? Revelations 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Much like the beetle, Acts chapter 17, verse 25, God gives life and breath and everything. And much like the beetle, what do we not have that we have not received? What do we have that we have not received from God? Nothing. Psalms 8, verses 3 through 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Hallelujah. In comparison to whatever complaints, whatever things we don't have, whatever things have been taken, okay, and our minds taken from us, in comparison to whatever those may be, we have a loving Creator, our Heavenly Father, and He is mindful of me. Of all the examples we just went through, He is mindful of us. Praise the Lord for that. How can we not be thankful to our mighty God? This is the God whom we serve. John Piper, he once said, when it comes to studying God's Word, the best things have to be dug for. If we rake, what do we get when we rake? Grass clippings? Leaves? What do we get when we dig? When you mine, when you dig, what do you get? Precious treasures. And John Piper is saying, if you're going to approach the Word of God, you need to dig so that you can mine the treasures. And so here's some treasures for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians 5:20. Paul, in a description of a spirit-filled person, said, we are to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so for the trials that we faced this past day, this past week, it is producing steadfastness for the believer. Romans 8:28 and also verses 38 and 39. No matter what happens in our life, these verses are the umbrella of thankfulness for each believer. And it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God intends for all our circumstances, both good and bad, to be instruments of our sanctification, of growing us more to be like Christ. Thankfulness is a gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. We must be diligent and faithfully mining for the precious treasure we find throughout God's holy word. Thankfulness produces humility, and it helps us combat boastfulness. Our only hope is in Christ Jesus. Everything we have is a gift, and if we are sinners, then everything is an undeserved gift. We need to get in the habit of thinking beyond ourselves and continually reflecting on the greatness of God. And so with that, let's revisit our activity. Go ahead and take that sheet out. And as you reflect on your day and your week, in light of these verses, I want you to circle the things that we can give we can be thankful to God about. As you circle, I don't want it to be just like what we talked about with teaching a person to say thank you. I want you to really think about what you are circling and the difficulty that you may have gone through in those moments. And as you look at the things that are above the line, perhaps those are much easier to circle than the things that are below the line. But the things that are below the line, much like what it states in Ephesians, these things are equipping us. Okay? It is producing steadfastness in our lives. I apologize, James. Okay, so as Christians, I think we've all been in a state where as we've walked physically, we're talking walk here, we've gotten pebbles in our shoes. And the thing that a pebble reminds us is that action is required. And as soon as you take off your shoe, you're trying to get that pebble out. Well, in the Christian walk, may we pray that we receive pebbles on a daily basis. May it require us to take action of thankfulness. Because we can be grateful and thankful for life, breath, and everything around us. So on the back side of your handout, I'd like for you to take a moment to meditate on question number 3. Okay, we've heard of Christmas in July. Well, maybe we need to have Thanksgiving in May as well. Okay, because what am I thankful for? Usually an activity that we do around Thanksgiving, but I'd like for us to partake in this activity even today. So write down an item or two that you are thankful for. And then as you finish up number three, go ahead and jump into number four. Write down an area you want to show more thankfulness to God. So I'd like to partake in an activity here, actually with the entire group. In classes, I like for the classmates to take some chances, take some risk. So I'd like for this particular class to take a risk here. And what I'd like for you to do is to find your, we talked about shoes, that's what we're talking about here, your soul partner, okay? I want you to find somebody in the room that has a very similar shoe style as you, and we're going to take 3 minutes, and we're just going to debrief with that individual, okay? What am I thankful for? I'd like for you to share what was on the other side of that sheet, the reflection of your week, if you are so bold to do so. But if you just want to stick to questions 3 and 4, that is perfectly fine. But here in just a moment, we'll take about 15, 30 seconds to find our soul partner, and then we will share questions 3 and 4. Okay? Go for it.
About 30 seconds yet. Go ahead and start making your way back to your seat. Yes, yes. You're a true soulmate. True soulmate now. Thank you all for being risk takers there. Well, what a blessing it is to have a body of believers that we can rely on, share, just share moments of weaknesses and strengths, and just reflecting on God's goodness. In closing, here are some attributes and characteristics. Great gifts from God, but actually before that, any items, let's just kind of popcorn around, any items that you want to share in a moment of reflection that you had with your soul partner here, what are some items that came up, maybe some similarities or just some items that that you guys discussed? Simple answers, simple prayers. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Yes?
Being thankful when relationships with us and feels irritable or hectic. And I was more specifically talking to parenting, sharing not quite that same thing. But right then in those moments of being thankful, that one God in His sovereignty is working through sometimes the spirit of the sanctification in my heart and God's heart.
Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Lord, for that. Thank you all for taking risk. In closing, here are the attributes, characteristics, and great gifts from God that we can certainly be thankful for. Salvation, victory over sin and death, the unending blessings of God, the unspeakable gift of Christ, complete provision for our needs, hope of glory, power of the word, power of prayer, divine guidance, goodness of God, the mercy of God, holiness of God, life and breath, God's patience and long-suffering, mercy, forgiveness, heaven, everything. In everything, find a reason to give thanks. When we become a Christian,
We're to give thanks to God because we have a new life in Christ. Expressing thanksgiving is spiritual cardio. Our circumstances, whether good or bad, we have been called to respond to them in a God-honoring and God-pleasing manner. If you're filled with Holy Spirit, you're filled with joy and a heart of thankfulness. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful for the reality of the gospel, that salvation is a gift that you give by grace through faith alone. We are spiritually dead to our sinful will. Open our hearts, fill them with overflowing thankfulness for you. Remove our sinful pride from our hearts as our only boast is through Jesus. We thank you for granting us the repentance that leads to life and for redeeming us through a faith in Jesus Christ. We desire, Lord, that our prayers and our lives would overflow with thankfulness, knowing that each circumstance you place in our path is directed perfectly by your will. Let our thankfulness not be motivated by a feeling or a lack of emotion, but instead motivated by a sincere love for you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In your glorious name we pray. Amen.